This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Good morning. Nice to have you along for Talking Horses. On this morning's program, we discussed the showdown meeting held at Caulfield yesterday. The feature race for two-year-olds bringing up a milestone win for Swettenham stud stallion Toronado. We also catch up with Sebastian Hutch from Inglis ahead of today's Melbourne Gold sale at Oaklands Junction and the chairman sale that will take place in Sydney later this week. Also joining us, Justine Hales, who's competing in this year's Mongold Derby, the world's longest horse race. But first, Yarraman Park announced the much-anticipated service fee for their champion stallion I Am Invincible this week. News this week from Yarraman Park Stud with the announcement of their stallion fees for the next season. And I Am Invincible, of course, much anticipation around the fee that he will stand at. Harry Mitchell joining us on the show this morning. How are you, Harry?
Good morning, John. I'm well.
What a season it's been again for I Am Invincible.
Yeah, look, it's been a great season. He's equaled the stakes winning record with Dane Hill and Switzerland, and he's, you know, got 3 months to go. So, you know, they're two great stallions. To be in their sort of ilk is unbelievable, really.
And his yearlings selling for remarkable prices again through the sales ring recently.
Yeah, they have, Joe. They've sold really well. You know, he's got better and better crops coming through as he goes forward now. But, you know, they're very well received. He's, you know, he's been very dominant in the stakes winning category. And he's, you know, he's leading sire of two-year-olds and two-year-old stakes winners. So, you know, he's at the top of all the categories. So, you know, that's what the big buyers want.
So that more than justifies the fee that he'll stand for in 2019, which will be, Harry, $247,500, including GST. Give us some background to the deliberation over that and the thought processes for listeners that aren't quite as familiar with these processes.
Well, Joe, he's been covering large books and mares all his life, but, you know, we just believe he's earned the fee. He's, you know, he's the leading sire stakes winners in the country. He's got the best is still ahead of him. Schnitzel's at 200. We thought 225 was a fair fee. I mean, you know, years gone by, horses like Reduce Choice and Incosta, they got to 300. That was years ago when the prize money was about half what it is today. When the prize money today and the value of stallion prospects as well is mind-boggling. So, I mean, really, the horse is entitled to be that fee, and many people think he should have stood it more.
Mm. How many mares did he cover last season, Harry?
He covered about 200, just over.
And this season he'll be inundated again. And the quality of the books of mares he's attracting each season, no doubt, is getting better and stronger each season.
Well, the last 2 years, Joe, his books have been incredible. I mean, so many Group 1 winners and Blue Diamond winners, and, you know, this year will be the same. I mean, look, it is a big fee. I mean, some people don't want to pay that, and I understand that, but a lot of the big commercial operators, you know, want to use him with their best mares, and we do want to trim his book back a bit, so yeah, he'll have a full book, Joe. I think he's got 138 mares booked to him as we speak, and there's a lot of people who we haven't even spoken to yet, so he'll cover about 160, 170. We think that's enough now going forward. He is 14, so we want to look after him a bit.
His first season, Harry, he stood for, was it 11,000?
Yeah. Yeah, he stood for 11 his first three or four seasons. Yes, he did. We bought him and he stood at 11 and he got a pretty good book of 130 mares, basically on the back of his looks, I think, when people came to see him. He's such a beautiful looking horse. And then his foals came, of course, and he throws unbelievably great types. So he had a good book second year. And, you know, he's had sort of full books all his life. I mean, he had a very mixed bag of mares in his first few years. There's no doubt any horse at 11,000 does. But he's been a great upgrader of mares as well, you know.
Indeed. Did you ever imagine back then that he would reach the heights that he has?
I don't think you ever do, Joe. You hope. I mean, you know, we wanted a very fast colonial horse. When we went to look at him, we wanted to see an outstanding physical, And when we went to look at him, he was, well, we all agreed he was about the best-looking horse we'd ever seen. So, you know, at that time, Invincible Spirit was starting to make a name for himself. But obviously, he's gone on to greater heights. And you know, the way the sire line's going now, Green Desert, with, you know, horses in Europe like Kingman and I'm Invincible here. And, you know, it looks like it's a, you know, it's a great sire line. And it looks like I'm Invincible will probably be a great sire of sires as well. Brazen Bow certainly started very well, you know.
Mm. For your career and life, a horse like this, well, they're once in a lifetime in many ways, aren't they? It would have been a very enjoyable ride for you all thus far. All the commercial aspects aside, but just to snare a horse of this calibre is a real achievement.
Yeah, you shake. You sometimes think, you know, how could I get this lucky? But you know, we've tried a lot of horses in our life, and it, you know, it's our life and our love. We work on the farm every day, and yeah, look, it's wonderful to watch them run and see so many small breeders have done so well out of him, and you know, to watch them win and win the big races. You know, like, he has runners everywhere now, in Hong Kong, in Dubai. I mean, he's got hoots in England. I mean, you know, you shake your head, you really do.
Mm. He's joined, of course, on the roster by Hellbent. How's he been faring, Harry?
Yeah, great, Joe. He's got a really strong syndicate. A lot of the, you know, really, really good breeders are in him. And he had a really good book of mares last year. Like, he covered a lot of mares, you know, stakes-winning mares that had been going to I'm Invincible. And, you know, he's had a, you know, unbelievable start, and he's just about booked out already this year, Joe. So he's been incredibly popular.
Lovely type of horse. How has he let down in the past 12 months or so?
Oh, he looks unreal. We're getting a lot of people ringing up now wanting to book into him because they saw him last year at the Stallion Parade and thinks, Joe, he's a cracking type. He's 16 hands. His father's a bit bigger than him, but he's terribly like his dad. That's one of the reasons we liked him so much. And, you know, the fact that he had the great turn of foot, you know, also was a big plus. And, you know, we like his pedigree as well. So to us, he's a huge chance, and we're going to send a lot of our mares to him, you know, the coming season.
Well, that's good to hear. Busy times, as always, on the farm. There's always something happening, weanling time at the moment.
Yeah, we've pretty much done weaning. We've got about 15, I think, left to do, and we've got weanlings to the sales and mares going to the sales. Oh, there's always lots to do, Joe, you know that.
Mm. Thoughts on the chairman's sale and how that's evolved? Looking forward to that next Friday night at Riverside in Sydney. What a remarkable catalogue of horses has been assembled for that.
Yeah, well, it is. There's a few mares in foal to I'm Invincible, which is going to be interesting, but especially Loving Gabby's mother, Maastricht. You know, she's the first foal, so I would have thought she would be very close to topping that sale, but it's a great catalogue.
Mm. And environmentally up there, it's been a very dry few years now in the Hunter, although recent rains no doubt have been very welcome, Harry. Has it made much difference up there?
Look, water's an issue, but we've got nice soft feed at the moment. It's reasonably short, but the horses are getting hold of it, and actually, the horses are thriving because the weather's so nice. It hasn't got cold and it's not too hot. But we do need follow-up rain, definitely. It could make it a very tough spring next year if we don't get some rain in the, you know, in the next month.
Mm. And the Scone Cup Carnival's coming up very soon.
Sure is, Joe. Yeah, it's always a great carnival, and I think this year's will be great. You know, it's really grown into one of the great carnivals in Australia. It's sort of nearly on a lot of people's bucket list got to do, you know. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to us this morning, Harry, and we'll look forward to seeing you, no doubt, at the sales over the next couple of weeks as they continue to roll on.
Lovely, Joe. Thanks a lot.
All right. That's Yarraman Park's Harry Mitchell joining us on Talking Horses this morning.
The results that matter. The Talking Horses racing run-through.
Big day at Caulfield yesterday. The opening event was the Keno Classic, a benchmark 78 over 1,000 metres. Won by Propel, a three-year-old filly, by Smart Missile, out of a Chamadale mare, Elite L. Race 2, a benchmark 84, run of 1,400 metres. The winner, Ocean Deep, a four-year-old daughter of Ocean Park, out of a Pinsmere Haberdashery. Ocean Deep is related to winners Fabric, Grand Harbour, So Real, Sophia Loren and Toast's Angel. and was bought for $65,000 out of the 2016 New Zealand Bloodstock Premier Yearling Sales. The Blue Gum Farm Gold Distaff over 1,400 metres, won by Twitchy Frank, a four-year-old mare by Schwarzier out of Alonro mare Red Pixie. The three-year-old sires, Phobos sires, sponsored by Spendthrift Australia, over 1,600 metres, won by Tarwin, a three-year-old gelding by Americane out of a brief truce mare, Clandon. Tarwin related to winners Arbinger, Brooklands and Virginia Water. The Phobos Gold Dash over 1,100 metres. Hal Vorsum was too good, a three-year-old gelding by Magnus out of a not a single doubt mare, Flourishing. The Ladbrokes Showdown over 1,200 metres. Prince of Sussex the winner, a two-year-old gelding by Toronado out of a tester, Rossomare Il Diamonte. Prince of Sussex is related to a winner, Algodon Miss, and was bought for $145,000 at last year's Inglis Premier Yearling Sales. The Phobos Gold Heath over 2,000 metres. Philip Stokes with a nice horse in the making here, Mr. Quickie, a three-year-old gelding by Seamus Award out of a General Nadir mare special favour. Mr. Quickie was sold at the 2017 edition of the Magic Millions Gold Coast Yearling Sales for $115,000. Widgie Turf took out the Phobos Gold Mile. He's a five-year-old gelding by Turf Fontaine out of a Carla Dancer mare Greyhound, related to winners El Galgo and La Bomba, and was a bargain buy at the 2014 Inglis Great Southern Weanling Sales for $4,500. And the Phobos Gold over 1,200 metres, Iconoclasm, too good, a four-year-old entire by Turak Toff out of an Encosta de Lago mare, Gold Lottie. His horse is related to winners a lot of Spur, Crucible, Gold Spur, Sky King and Sky Spur.
The Talking Horses, winner of the week.
Oso Rewarding in front of Sartorial Splendor, who goes up to nose it. They were followed by Flow Star, who hangs around the turn. Sistar in plenty of room from Lucifer's Reward. Hightail is the widest with Miche Mokwa. And Prince of Sussex is weaving through at the 200. Sartorial Splendor in front. Hightail and Prince of Sussex in hot pursuit, though. Prince of Sussex, 100 to go, and Hightail, they go together. Prince of Sussex about a half length, three quarters, Hightail. Prince of Sussex going well for Michael D. Prince of Sussex won the showdown.
In a day specifically promoting Victorian bred horses at Caulfield, the Matt Laurie-trained Inglis Premier Sales graduate Prince of Sussex won the inaugural Million Dollar Showdown. He's a son of Swettenham Stud's exciting first season sire, Toronado. He was positioned rather awkwardly in the running, but went on to win impressively by almost two lengths. His trainer, Matt Laurie, was full of praise for the win and says he's a very smart horse in the making. Prince of Sussex journey began at the 2018 Inglis Melbourne Premier Yearling Sales, where he was sold for $145,000. He was conceived, foaled and reared at Swettenham Stud on behalf of owner Chris Jackson. And Adam Sangster, the Swettenham Stud principal, is absolutely thrilled with the result of the race and what it means for the profile of their resident stallion, Toronado. And Toronado has eight lots entered in today's Inglis Melbourne Gold Yearling Sale. It's a hectic time for the Inglis team, with the Melbourne Gold Yearling Sale commencing this afternoon at Oaklands Junction. Sebastian Hutch from the Bloodstock team joining us on Talking Horses this morning. How are you faring, Sebastian?
Sure, we're going well. It's obviously been a hectic sales season, and we're starting to get to the end of it in terms of yearling sales. But, you know, as this sale has demonstrated time and time again, there's fantastic value to be found here, and it really doesn't look like this year is going to be any different.
A total of 261 yearlings in the catalogue for this year's sale, 241 of them in the main catalogue, with 20 supplementary entries.
Yeah, look, the book has come together really nicely. I mean, obviously, there are big numbers in the book. It's a one-day sale, but lots of nice stallions represented in the book. I mean, that's part of the battle. There are certain yearlings in here that had been candidates for select yearling sales early on in the year, but for one reason or another didn't manage or weren't able to take up their respective appointments. And then obviously there are some other yearlings by stallions who've, you know, really progressed well through the autumn and winter of the racing season, or the autumn of the racing season, and now all of a sudden their progeny are more commercially appealing than what they might have been in January or February. And naturally at this stage of the season we know a lot more about a number of the young stallions with first two-year-olds or three-year-olds. And like as we've seen with the likes of, Dundeal, Deep Field, those kind of horses, they've progressed really significantly in the last month or two, and their progeny are really appealing now, and they're both well represented in the sale. And there's an opportunity to be a part of their success as well.
They certainly are. The big-name stallions well represented in the sale today with the likes of Written Tycoon, Exceed and Excel, Zoo Star and So You Think and Dundeal and Deep Field, as you mentioned, having progeny going through the ring. There's been some very good results come out of this sale in recent years. Sebastian, it's produced the likes of Group 1 winner Malaguera.
Yeah, look, Malaguera is obviously the showcase or the pin-up boy of the sale, but Olive a Bit is a high-class sprinter for John McArdle. Group 1 performed, and there are a number of other graduates who performed in stakes company and won an extraordinary amount of prize money along the way. And I mean, the nature of Australian racing, particularly in New South Wales and Victoria, with the respective bonus schemes and the prize money structure, there's a lot of money to be won with a good, tough, sound horse. And this is the sort of sale where you can come and find horses are going to win a lot of prize money for not a lot of money. So, that's where the value stands. There are people looking to trade stock out of this sale. There'll be ready to race horses found here, and there'll be good, tough, sound race horses to be found as well. So, look, it's a good opportunity for people to source value.
And then it's on to the chairman's sale back in Sydney at Riverside, and that catalogue has been finalised with 7 quality wildcard entries joining what is a world-class collection of broodmares to be offered.
Yeah, look, we're very happy with how the book for the chairman's has come together. I mean, obviously the broodmare market's expected to be very solid on the back of what's been a lucrative yearling sale season. In any jurisdiction around the world, breeders generally or owners generally are usually reluctant to sell nice mares. You know, when people have nice mares, they just don't want to sell them. So we're really very pleased to have been able to assemble the catalogue of mares that we've assembled. It's very concentrated, obviously, in terms of quality. We were very particular about how we selected the mares for the sale. We want mares, young mares primarily, who are well performing on the racetrack, good looking, and if they're covered, they're in foal on good covers. There's a spattering of high class proven mares amongst the book as well. Look, there are a number of mares in the book, Joe, that are going to make a lot of money, but by the same token, there are some mares in the book that are going to represent great value lower down the price range. So we'd encourage everybody to keep a very close eye on if there's going to be value to be found there, but it's shaping as a very good sale.
Some of those wildcard entries, Sebastian, include Fast Fleet, the Dam of Champions sprinter at Santa Ana Lane, competing in Hong Kong this weekend. So its performance might impact even more on the value of that mare. And Maastricht, the dam of the multiple Group 1 place 2-year-old Loving Gabby, is also going to be one of the headline acts of those entries.
You know, Fast Fleet she's the mother of best sprinter in the world in Santa Ana Lane, and hopefully he can improve that this evening. He's a 5-time Group 1 winner, Fast Fleets by a fantastic sire in Fast at Rock. She's in foal to Zoo Star on an early cover. She's only 12. She's a tax mare. There's a lot of appeal to a mare like that. Similarly, Maastricht, her first foal is Loving Gabby. She was a $600,000 yearling. She's run in all 4 2-year-old Group 1 so far this season. She was unlucky 6th in the Blue Diamond, 4th in the Slipper, 2nd in the SARS in the Champagne. She's arguably the best 2-year-old filly in the country. She's carrying a full sibling to Loving Gabby. Maastricht, she was a very smart race mare all night, and she's only 7. And, in any part of the world, it's incredibly difficult to buy mares of that quality. So the fact that we have a mare like that to offer is a great responsibility. And, fortunately, the interest in the sale has been incredibly strong from both domestic and international investors. But, right the way through the book, you look at some of the highlight lots, like Sure Candy in foal to American Pharaoh. Snitty Kitty's a very good race mare, who's a racing proposition going forward. Norzita was a champion filly in her own year in foal to Snitzel. The mother of Booker, carrying a full sibling to Booker. The mother of Sprite in foal to I'm Invincible. Like, right the way through the book, there's real quality. I mean, the catalogue includes the only mare in the Southern Hemisphere, the only mare in Australia in foal, the Medaglia d'Oro. And she's a Group 2 performer mare in the States carrying a maiden foal, and that's an incredibly valuable pregnancy. So we have a lot to be excited about, and you know, we'd encourage anybody who's serious about buying quality mares in Australia that the sale they have to attend.
It is just an extraordinary lineup. Are you expecting then this sale to break all previous records?
Oh, look, in terms of configuration of the sale, it's slightly different. I mean, the chairman is an evolutionary concept for Inglis. You know, it had sat in the day after the Easter yearling sale. We've condensed the book significantly on last year. Look, we're very hopeful that the sale will be a productive one for buyers and for vendors. I mean, for us, it was firstly about accumulating the appropriate stock, and we feel we've done that. And then the next thing is about making sure the appropriate investors are at the sale. And certainly at this stage, there's very strong domestic interest, but a lot of international interest as well. And look, like, we're very hopeful it'll be a good sale. I mean, we were hopeful in advance of the Easter yearling sale that we got all our ducks in a row in terms of hosting a good sale, and so it transpired. You know, similarly with the Premier sale in Melbourne back in March, we did a lot of work in procuring the right buying bench for the sale, and it worked out that we had a good sale. So the mandate for us is very similar here. You know, we've got good stock in the book, and now it's just a case of making sure we get all the right faces to the sale and have the mare sell well.
And a nice gesture too, Sebastian, that the sale will begin with a nomination to Widden Studs, a hot new first season sire of the four-time Group 1 winner, Trapeze Artist, for the 2019 Australian breeding season. And proceeds of that will go to the injured jockey, Ty Angland.
You look, obviously, Ty wasn't just a very well-liked member of the weighing room, but a very well-liked member of the bloodstock community as a whole. Like, he's a horseman first and foremost, so the gesture on the part of the Era family to assist in this manner, to assist Ty and his family in this manner, is a most welcome one, and we were delighted to be able to facilitate that. And obviously, Trapeze Artist is, you know, one of the most exciting calls to retire to stud in a number of years, and looks to have an exciting career in front of him at Widden. You know, I expect that nomination is going to be very well sought after, and it's only too appropriate that it would be, given the good cause that the proceeds are going to be given toward.
Absolutely. And inspections for the chairman's sale, Sebastian, the mayor's begin at Riverside from Tuesday.
Yeah. So we have a strong weanling sale on Thursday. We have a capitalist half-brother to Fiesta, the first American Pharaoh foal being offered in the Southern Hemisphere. We have a 9 Invincible filly out of Shri Candy. You know, with some really very good foals in that sale, and that'll be the precursor to the chairman's sale on Saturday, and on Friday. And you know, Riverside's going to be very busy from Monday onwards. Chairman's sale, our chairman's mares will be visible from Tuesday, but we expect it to be a very busy week at Riverside.
I'm sure it will be. Looking forward to getting out there, Sebastian. Good luck for the Melbourne Gold sale this afternoon, and look forward to seeing you at Riverside for the chairman's later in the week.
Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate it.
Sebastian Hutch from the Inglis team. They have a huge week of sales coming up in both Victoria and New South Wales. A significant day for Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria at Caulfield yesterday with the inaugural running of the Million Dollar Showdown for two-year-olds. James O'Brien, the president of TBV, our guest this morning on Talking Horses. How was it, James?
Oh, it was such a tremendous day, Joe. It was just excellent for all participants.
And a great result for Swetnam too, with their resident stallion Toronado producing the winner of the Million Dollar Race, Prince of Sussex.
Oh, it was a tremendous result. He really looks like a really good horse. He's won this race, and then prior to that he won the Gold Rush. So, you know, back-to-back Vobis Gold exclusive race wins is a great sounding board and a great stepping stone, I suppose, for his future career. Looking forward to it.
And a graduate, of course, from the Inglis Premier sales, purchased for $145,000.
Yes, he was bred by Chris Jackson, who sent his mare the Toronado. She's a 2010 mare, and I understand he has a full sister weanling on the ground as well. So, very excited for Chris.
And tell us about the day in general, James, and some of the other highlights.
Oh, it's just the atmosphere, and for everyone around, they just really enjoyed it. The prize money on offer, which is including every horse is eligible for the Vobis bonuses as well. So there's a $30,000 on each bonus on each race. So it comes to $2.7 million prize money. The three-year-old sire was also won by a Swettenham Stallion, a son of a Swettenham Stallion, American. So that was by Tarwin, who won quite well. And that race is worth $300,000. Well, next year that'll be going to $500,000. So this race day is just going to get more and more exciting.
And how was the crowd attendance there on the day? Well supported?
Yes, it was. Look, it was an overcast day, so it's not pretty cold. But despite that, it was very well attended. And as I mentioned, the mood and the atmosphere, and just seeing people involved in a million-dollar race. New owners, it's just terrific.
Mm. Adam would have been very pleased with the outcome for Toronado.
Oh, over the moon. And it's, he's a tremendous stallion. He's performed in the UK. His progeny are really getting good results in the sales rings. And now we're seeing them on the racetrack stepping out and doing things as Prince of Sussex did yesterday.
And Toronado's got quite a number of lots going through today's Inglis Melbourne Gold yearling sale.
Yes, that's right. It's a really exciting sale out there. It's produced, Malagira, and there was a $5,500 purchase that last year that ran in the race, in the million-dollar race yesterday. So Inglis have done a magnificent job out of that complex, and it's just passed the airport there, the Tullamarine Airport, and everybody's welcome to pop out today. They've got an amazing setup, and I'm sure that there'll be people, future horses that will perform to those levels.
Yes, Sebastian Hutch from Inglis, a guest on our show earlier this morning. Very much looking forward to today's sale there, and that, of course, leads into the chairman's sale in Sydney later this week. How has the general anticipation been towards today's sale from your point of view, James?
I think with the prize money on offer throughout racing Victoria and the further rewards through the Vobis schemes, just it makes, and the talent and quality of racehorses that are produced by Victorian breeders just makes this sale a really attractive go-to place. And I think that anyone looking to become involved, pop down just for a coffee, just even for a look, and just see another side of the industry. Breeding is the grassroots, and it's just something a bit different to the racetrack, and just see where it all begins.
Interesting times for the Victorian breeding industry, James, with some good stallions joining rosters there, including Akeed Mafeed coming across from South Australia to join the Swettenham roster, and organisations like Yulong really heavily investing in setting up there.
Yes, I'm very excited. Yulong have announced that they'll be standing grunts this year, so that'll be their first stallion to stand in Victoria. Look, Victoria is a very attractive place, and a lot of new breeders are coming into the region. And you mentioned Yulong, Spendthrift, and I've heard that there will be some announcements next week, which are quite exciting about further farms coming to Victoria to stand stallions. So I just think the whole industry is on the up and up, supported by government with their contributions to the Vobis Gold. Supported by Racing Victoria, the racing in general. We've got a magnificent group of trainers out there. So the racing and the environment to breed is just excellent within Victoria. So looking forward to the future of breeding in Victoria.
Good times. Thanks for joining us this morning, James. Enjoy the sales out there today.
Thanks, Joe.
James O'Brien, the president of Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria. A big weekend for the organisation with the inaugural showdown meeting at Caulfield yesterday, and that segues into today's Inglis Melbourne Gold sale. The Mongol Derby is a race on many people's bucket lists to compete in. It's the world's longest horse race, and it takes place in Mongolia in August each year. Justine Hales is the next candidate that's going to have a crack at this challenging task, and she's our special guest this morning on Talking Horses. How are you, Justine?
Good, thank you, Joe. How are you?
Good. What inspired you to want to take part in the Mongol Derby this year?
I've wanted to do it for quite a while. Quite a few years ago, a friend of mine did it and he ran third, and so I've always sort of followed it. And then I guess Annabelle and 80 winning last year sort of egged me on to give it a go. I'm not getting any younger, so if I want to tick it off my bucket list, I'd better get it done sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no doubt the story of Annabelle and Adrian last year winning the race inspired you immensely, and they would have been able to share some really important insights with you ahead of your challenge.
Yeah, they have. They have. They've both tried to talk me out of doing it as well, which is quite funny. They said it was the toughest thing they've ever done. But no, they've definitely given me a few insights, and I'm sure I'll be picking their brain some more over the next couple of months.
Mm. What were the warning signs that they signalled to you in particular? I know the horses are absolute maniacs. They're wild as anything, and that in itself is very dangerous, and the terrain is tough, and the weather patterns, the journey and the potential of getting lost. What were some of the other warnings that they gave you?
Oh, they just said it's very, you know, it's very hard on your body, very tough mentally, just very draining. And yeah, there's also things like the wild dogs, et cetera, like that, just getting stuck out in nowhere. And yeah, just generally the tiredness and how they felt was just there. That was very, very tough to do.
Mm. But you're up for the challenge?
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, you're a tough cookie, Justine. So the training, no doubt you've already started. What does that entail?
I've just been, I ride at work a bit and do some riding after work, and just been getting my fitness up generally. I've done a fair bit of hiking. Today I'm off to Werribee to do a 12K hike there, so just got my pack packed and get used to carrying things like that. But I'll just keep doing a fair bit of gym work and getting myself fit and my body fit. It's, I'm just generally about being fit and prepared to go.
Mm-hmm. And what about the horses themselves? Completely unpredictable, aren't they?
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get. You'll pick a horse off the line and it could be really, really slow and not want to go. It could be like a rocket and take off and have no mouth, or it just could give you a nice ride. You never know. It's luck of the draw.
Are you having any sleepless nights over this?
Yeah, every now and then I have a little think about what the hell I'm doing. But no, I've put my money where my mouth is now, so I've got to go and do it. So I'll just make the most of the opportunity, I think.
Mm. Now, you were recently holidaying at home in New Zealand, and I saw some great imagery of you riding a cow. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was at NSX Property in Cambridge, and they had a white Galloway cattle beast there, and he's apparently broken to saddle, but we were just riding around the arena with a head collar and lead rope and going over a few trotting poles, etc. It was quite funny, just a bit of entertainment, but he was very quiet. He definitely wasn't a fucking bronco type.
How was that experience? It would be very strange compared to riding a horse.
It was. He was quite comfortable to sit on, but he was very lazy, and might be a little bit like trying to get one of those stubborn Mongol ponies to go and kick him a fair bit, but no, it was definitely a bit of fun. Had a good time while I was home. Went on some good rides and stayed at some wonderful places, had a fair bit of beach riding and things like that. So it was good to sort of vary my training a little bit with a good holiday.
Yeah. And so the lay of the land in Mongolia, have you been studying that? Have you ever been there before?
No, I've not been there. I've definitely been writing a fair bit on the internet and, spoken to people that have done it. My sister's been there too, so she's given me a few little tips about what she's done. She wouldn't have been on a horse when she did it. But, yeah, it's all sort of, there's a lot of different land. It's sort of across the steep, so there's mountains, high country, there's swamps, there's river crossings, and then there's this lovely sweeping sort of rolling hills and stuff. So it's all varying, and I think the weather varies a lot as well. You can go from sunshine to storms quite quickly. It's going to definitely be testing on the body.
Mm. What a great thing to do, though, Justine, as challenging and potentially dangerous as it is, just to complete the journey would be an achievement, let alone to win it.
Yeah, definitely. It's just something I've wanted to do. And as you know yourself, if you, if you've got something on your bucket list you want to try, or you want to get it done and get it done while you can, while you're young enough to enjoy it. And I look forward to going over there and meeting some new people. I met a girl in New Zealand the other day who's going, and I got a chance to ride him in other Mongol saddles as well while I was there. He had one practice in. So, yeah, I meet new people, and it's definitely be an outstanding experience.
Yeah, no doubt. And you're launching a GoFundMe page to raise funds for the trip?
Yes. I'm going and raising funds for the Peter McCallum Foundation, which is the charity that Kiramar's stable supports. Last year, Aidan and Annabelle raised about $38,000 for that through the Gala Ball. And this year, we'll have the ball again at the end of July. And I've got the GoFundMe page as well. So Peter McCallum is a cancer research foundation here in Victoria. They do a great job. They're one of the world leaders in cancer research. So it's a good charity to support, and we'll have all been touched a little bit by cancer in some way. So it's nice to support something that's doing some good for the world.
So how much time off from running Kieran Maher's Pakenham base will you need to take to compete in the Mongol Derby?
It's about, we'll leave on at the end of July and we'll be back about the 20th, so only about 3 weeks, not too bad.
And Kieran, of course, due to injury, was set to compete but missed out. Does he harbour any desires to one day do it?
I don't think he does now.
Yeah.
Speaking to Aidan and Annabelle.
No, exactly, and he's got enough stable representatives flying the flag anyway over there. So from here on in, what's sort of the routine going to be? Will you step up training to another level soon, or are you at the peak of that now?
No, I'll step up the training a bit the next couple of months, and then maybe sort of not do too much in July. I don't want to be too tired when I get there. I'll go out and do some hunting and a few long rides and things like that. And, yeah, just generally get fit, but I'm not going to overly stress about being too rock hard fit. You want to go there and still be able to have a little bit of weight on, etc. Otherwise, you lose so much weight over there with all the work and without eating. So I don't want to be too light, but you also need to be light enough because you can only carry a certain amount of stuff. You can only weigh 85 kilos all up on your horse. So there's not much gear you can take with you either.
No. And what sort of riding apparel and gear do you use for this particular journey as compared to a normal ride you might go on?
Just sort of some compression tights and some endurance sort of jodhpurs over top. Your shoes are not normal riding boots. You use ones that you can ride in and walk in, because it's a fair bit of walking, leading your horses around and back to the lines and stuff. And just a good merino, good jacket, and a puffer jacket. Everything's got to be lightweight. There's not much you can really carry. So it's you're probably pretty smelly by the end of it.
And you'll need a lot of courage.
Definitely. Yeah, I don't think they bottled that though.
It's either in you or it's not. Well, I know you don't lack it, so all the best, Justine, with this journey. Very exciting. I'm very envious, actually. I think it's wonderful that you're going on this trip, and no doubt you'll be very competitive.
Thank you very much, Jo.
All right, and we'll look forward to hopefully talking to you after it to hear about your success story.
Hopefully it's a winning one.
Yeah, exactly. No pressure there at all.
No, none at all. None at all.
And as they say, Justine, in life, enjoy the journey.
I will, definitely. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's Justine Hales, who will be competing in the 2019 Mongol Derby, which takes place in August. And that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of Talking Horses. Hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks to our special guests this week, James O'Brien, the president of Thoroughbred Breeders Victoria, Sebastian Hutch from Inglis, Yarraman Parks, Harry Mitchell and Justine Hales. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.